Episode 145, BulaNetwork.com. Greetings, kids. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. Today, let's talk about if your end of the boat sinks, so does mine. We'll do that next. It is Tuesday, October the 9th, 2012, as we hit the record button. No, the subject isn't teamwork, although it could be, and that's usually the context that we hear when people talk about, if your end of the boat sinks, then so does mine. I have been known to use that before, and it's fitting. It's very fitting. So metaphorically, we are all in the same boat. Therefore, if I don't worry about your end of the boat and I only worry about my end of the boat, well, the boat still sinks. Because we're all in the same boat. I'm going to use it today in the context of our business. I don't care if you have employees or you have other people that are involved in your business, whether they are contractors or virtual assistants or any other kind of role that you have, other people that impact your business, positively or negatively, by the way. Now, it probably is more powerful if we're talking about employees, and it is something that employees have great difficulty. So this is a double-edged sword today. The information is intended for those of you who are employees. Okay, let's not get caught up in the mishmash of, well, I don't like being an employee, or I love being it. It doesn't matter. If you are an employee, whether you love it or hate it, that's where you're at. Why not be as good as you can be? Why not be as effective as you can be? Why not be as valuable as you can be? Can't hurt you. If your design is within the next few months or the next year or however long to leave, no harm. No harm in being more valuable in the time that you're there. If you are perfectly happy and content, you love your job, well, all the better. Why not behave in a way that will make them love you even more? Or you might not even be loved. You might be in a job and you might feel, I feel like I'm always at risk. You know, we have this line of cuts and that line of cuts, and I always seem to squeak by, but one day I just know they're going to call me into the boss's office, and next thing you know, I'm going to be walking out the door with a cardboard box and security behind me. Well, if that's you, hey, really important, really urgent that you get your head wrapped around the concepts that I'm going to be talking about today. If you are an entrepreneur and you have employees, you have other people that impact your business, you really have got to pay attention. Here's at the heart of it all. Our lives are what we design them to be. Your business, your career, your life, by and large, is what you're willing to accept. Yes, I realize there are extraordinary circumstances. Yes, I realize bad things happen to good people. Yes, I understand that health issues and other things come up and bite us unexpectedly. I'm not saying that we always deserve what we get. I'm saying that we are accountable and we are responsible for what happens, or maybe better said, we are responsible for our reaction to those things that do happen that are beyond our control. We make up our own mind how we choose to view things. We make up our own mind how we choose to behave and how we choose to act. Okay, having established that, I hope, let's talk about getting things the way we want. Let's talk about building the business we want, the way we want. Let's talk about building our career. Let's talk about the employee who is always on edge, feels as though he or she is doing a good job, but feel as though they're always at risk. They're always at risk at losing the job. Let's talk about the entrepreneur who has some employees, and some are good, some are not so good, some are just downright bad. Let's talk about owning it. You ever watched any Gary Vaynerchuk? You know, he's really fond of being on stage and exclaiming to people, own it, you know, own it. That is, take ownership in it. Wear it proudly. That's what he means by that, and that's what most of us mean when we use that kind of a phrase, own it. Well, let's do that. Let's do that, shall we? Let's own it. Those things that happen, let's own them. We can cry about it. We can whine about it. We can complain about it. We can do all these kinds of things. But first and foremost, let's just own it. Let's own it and let's make up our mind. Okay, now given the realities of this situation, my response to this is going to be, what? I don't know why I'm still amazed, but I am. I'm amazed at people who don't pre-think some things. Granted, you can't pre-think everything. A tragedy befalls us, hits us out of the blue. No, nobody's pre-thinking that. I'm talking about people that haven't pre-thought any kind of negative thing happening, and what would they do? How would they respond if the job got eliminated? How would the employer respond? And this one really gets me, especially employees or entrepreneurs that have employees, I should say. I way too frequently ask people, okay, worst case scenario, Joe down the hall walks into your office and quits. How does that impact your business? If you are an employer and you don't have a working roster of your team and know where they're at and know their strengths, know their weaknesses, know what they need, know where their head's at, and if you haven't pre-thought, if they were to leave, what's my play? What am I going to do? Do you suppose that any professional sports team, do you suppose that they go into a game with the assumption that all the starters are going to remain healthy all season long? Of course not. No, they look at that roster and they're pre-thinking. Now, that doesn't mean they're planning on it. They're not planning for the quarterback to be knocked out of the game. They're not planning for a goaltender to be hurt. They're not planning for any of that stuff to happen. They are planning in case it does. In case it does, who do we have that can be the next grade down? Because if they were the next grade up, well, they'd be starting. So we know we're going to take a step back because we know that the person who's starting in goal, for instance, is more talented, is more experienced, whatever. So we know that the next guy's probably not going to be as good, but does he give us a fighting chance? Well, it's their job to find such a guy, have such a guy prepared and ready in case something happens. They have this contingency plan. What's yours? What is your contingency plan when it comes to people? Now, today I'm specifically talking about people, I'm not talking about tools or resources. I'm talking about human beings. I'm talking about the people that we need to get the job done. They can be employees. They can be outsourced contract, whatever they may be. What are the contingency plans? You better have them. But the big point of today is the thought process, because I find that there are so many people that don't get this. And I've thought long and hard about it and tried to figure out why do I get it and where did I get it? I don't claim that it was something innate. Somebody taught me. I would absolutely positively give credit if I knew who that was, but I don't. I suppose it's a mishmash of everything, my upbringing and the first people that I worked for and whatnot. If you, whether you are an entrepreneur who owns the joint or whether you are an employee, doesn't matter. In this regard, we're all the same. If we don't take care of the company, if we don't take care of the enterprise, we all lose. Yeah. If collectively we don't do what is in the best interest of the company, we all lose. I don't remember when it first happened to me, but I was prepared because I had already had conversations with others and it never struck me as very logical. Person plops down in front of me and they announce that they would like a raise. And the sales pitch was built around all the things going on in their life and all the reasons why they needed this raise. It always just struck me as bizarre, just a bizarre approach. And yet a lot of people do that. As though their need for money had any impact on me or the decision that I might make to give them more money. Walk up, go to the neighbor across the street, walk out of your house, go across the street, knock on the door, and tell them that you need $100. And then give them three good reasons, three good things that you would do with an extra $100. See if they give it to you. And if they do, then email me their address because I need to come pay them a visit. Our need for money doesn't affect anything. The universe doesn't care about our need for money or our perceived need for money. No, what people care about, what your neighbor would care about, what your enterprise cares about, whether you own it or not, where's the value exchange here? This is where if you're into the boat sink, so does mine, really comes into play, and would that more people properly understood this. Yes, there are many greedy companies out there that, you know, they're willing to almost have indentured servants working for them so that they can build big coffers and so that their CEO and chairman can have, you know, the 300-foot-long yacht. Okay, I'm not talking about that. That's not us, okay? We're small business. And our small business may be $100 million. It may be under $1 million a year, but we're small business. That stuff does happen. There are scoundrels in the world, but let's table that. Let's get our head wrapped around, if your end of the boat sinks, so does mine. We got to take care of the enterprise. We got to do what's right for the enterprise. So what am I going to do? Again, whether I own the joint or whether I'm an employee, what am I going to do today to move the company forward? What am I going to do today? What value am I going to bring to the party today to make myself as irreplaceable as I can make myself? Admittedly, not many of us are irreplaceable, but we can make it really hard. We can make it really hard to replace. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Talented guy by all standards. He goes down to injury, he's going to be hard to replace. He's going to be hard to replace. When he retires, he's going to be hard to replace. But you know what? They thought Brett Favre would be hard to replace. And before that, they thought Bart Starr would be hard to replace. These are Hall of Famers. Even Hall of Famers can be replaced. May take time. So don't get on a high horse thinking, I can't be replaced, or even trying to make that your goal. That's not your goal. Your goal is quite simply, ROI. Your goal is return on investment. The company is making an investment in you. If you own the company is still making an investment in you because you're getting compensated. You're getting perhaps a salary. You're getting dividends. You're getting distributions. Whatever that compensation is, that's your payoff. Now, you've got to provide something of value to your own company. And if you're an employee, goes for you too. You've got to provide value to the company as well, because that's the value exchange that's happening here. It's mind-blowing that so many people don't understand this. They seem to believe that the company is just, well, there's company coffers, and these coffers are, I tell you what it's like. It's like those of us that have raised children, especially when they went through their teen years, and mom or dad would say, you know, I mean, do you think money grows on trees? Well, of course, we know money doesn't grow on trees, but the point was our kids act like we're just this bottomless supply of money. Well, sometimes entrepreneurs and employees behave the same. It's one of the things that I think is just so crazy about some elements of the VC world, venture capitalist world, of somebody's got an idea and somebody comes and they throw money at it. I'm the guy, this is how old school I am. I'm the guy that cringes at an outfit that can raise $3 million, let's say, in VC money. And they develop an idea. Okay, they iterate the idea. And within a year, gone. Gone. Lock, stock, and smoke and barrel. And it's like, okay, there's $3 million that went into the economy, but the economy got nothing for it. I mean, you talk about a lousy ROI, but you know, venture capitalist guys will be the first to tell you it's a high risk kind of a racket. Some are higher risk than others, but by and large, they know they're not going to hit. The hope in that whole game is that the ones that do hit will more than make up for all the misses, and they do. The successful VC firm, that's the business model. Now, I'm simplifying this, of course, but that pretty much is it. For every hand that they lose at this gambling table, the hope is, the strategy is, when we win big enough to more than make up for all the losses. I just can't help but keep my head wrapped around the losses. I can't help but think about the losses in money, the losses in time, the losses in humanity. Now, granted, there are a number of cases where people have done such things, they have failed, and they've learned priceless lessons. So I'm not throwing rocks at the value of the lessons that can be learned, but standing on their own, the ROI in many cases is just not there. And in some cases, we can read, and we've even talked with people who admit, now looking back, that they were stupid. They took VC money. They got the fancy digs. They got the fancy chairs. They got the fancy desks. They got the fancy art on the walls, none of which made a hill of beans difference in the outcome of the business. And it never was going to, but yeah, they thought it was important because they were playing the game of raising money. They weren't playing the game of trying to succeed at business. And that's a whole nother topic. We're not talking about being irreplaceable. We're talking about bringing value, and we're talking about working hard to bring the highest value that we possibly can. How high is the value you bring, and how important is that? Or is it just important that you get what you think you need to get? Or is it just important that you get what you think you deserve? Well, newsflash, life isn't fair. It's never been fair, and it's not going to be fair. What you can do is make up your mind today that you're going to give yourself the very best chance for success, no matter if you're an employee who's disgruntled, or an employee who loves their job, or an entrepreneur who has employees or other people. Even the virtual assistant who may be 3,000 miles away, who does not understand that we've got to do what's right for the company, we've got to do what's right for the enterprise, else I don't get paid. Or if I do get paid, there's no funds to make good on the payment. Nobody's helped by those kinds of situations. It's rare. This is going to sound terrible, but I'm going to confess it. It's rare for me to have a conversation with an entrepreneur who is an employer, who has 10 or more people, for them to not very quickly be able to identify to me at least two people that they feel probably should have been fired a long time ago. I mean, 20% of the human resources in your company should be gone? And of course, if you know me, you know my next question, why aren't they? Why aren't they gone? Because, you know, what you hear is you hear the litany of stories. You hear the litany of story after story after story after story of the person, you know, bad work habits. And listen, I'm the type of person, I'm going to hold the business owner accountable. I mean, first and foremost, it's leadership's problem. It's just leadership's problem. If the player, whether that player is on an athletic team professionally or whether that player is in a company professionally, if the player is not performing and we've allowed that poor performance over time to erode even further, shame on us. Just shame on us. Because the truth is, if your end of the boat sinks, so does mine. So as a business owner, you're really crazy. You're really stupid for letting somebody sink one end of your boat. And I end up always telling the business owner the same thing. So these two people, you're going to let these two people put your company at risk? Well, no, but it just, you know, and there's always a bunch of reasons, bunch of excuses. Well, I don't understand. I don't understand why you would let somebody on one end of the boat be bringing in as much water as they can bring into the boat to put the boat at risk. Meanwhile, you're down here with the biggest sump pump you can find trying to keep the water out of it. Seems to me, first things first, stop the water coming on board. Explain to me why this is happening. And you know what? In more cases than I can quantify, leadership, ownership admits and acknowledges it is their fault. They never sat down and fully explained the whole game, the whole premise. If your end of the boat sinks, so does mine. Now, here's the sad reality. In some cases, it's too late. It's just too late. In some cases, people have been in these positions of bringing on water on board and being self-serving and not caring one whit about the company or the outcome. It can't be helped. It's just too late. Yeah, it happens. It happens. There are places that people get to and circumstances that businesses get to that there's just no recovery. It's more like a cancer. It's time for surgery. It's time to eliminate it. And now it's addition by subtraction. Now it's, we've got 10 people, two of them are dragging us down. It's time to get on with it. It is. Now, I often get that, well, listen, he's a nice guy. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. This is not personal. Businesses are live, living, breathing things. They are organic. Our businesses are not static or stationary. Oh, I know everybody on the internet would have you believe that it's all easy button and it's push button and it's, you know, it's being in tropical paradise while your business is just on autopilot. I got a newsflash for you. If your business is on autopilot, it's heading to the ground. It may not be headed to the ground in a nosedive, but trust me, the trajectory is downward. It's heading into the ground or the side of a hill. It will crash. It'll run out of fuel. The end result of the autopilot business is bad. Yes, you can put businesses on autopilot for periods of time, just like you can planes, but only for periods of time. That's just how the real world works. Build a bridge and get over it if you don't like it. So we can't just sit here and assume that the people that are in the business that, well, you know, with time, it just, they'll get better. No, just like autopilot on a plane, over time, it gets worse. It's kind of the law of thermodynamics of entropy. You know, car that's rolling, it just doesn't keep on rolling. Friction causes it to eventually stop. We have to keep maintaining our car. If we don't, it falls into disrepair, quits running. We have to keep paint on the outside of our houses or the wood will rot. When it comes to human capital, when it comes to human beings, we have to nurture and take care of, train, keep them in shape, and we've got to do what's right for the enterprise. If we don't, the enterprise will fail. And if the enterprise fails, well, we're all out of luck. So whether you're an employee, whether you're an employer, doesn't matter. The question is, what value are you bringing today to the business? You know, so many people get hung up in the rewards, and it's easy for us to do because, well, you know, hey, we want to be rich. We want to start a business and we want to be rich, or we want to start a career. We want it to be a lucrative career, or we want to go down this job path because, well, it'll lead to that job and that job pays more. So more money. Okay. We all understand that, and we are all guilty of that. But there has to be an exchange of value. We got to bring something to the party. We've got to be worth it. I know you can read all about the big fat cat CEOs that make tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Okay, well, that's not you. That's not me. These are outliers. Yes, there are people on the planet who are in such circumstances. Hooray for them. How does that impact me? How does that impact you? Well, it doesn't, except the fact that you read the story and it makes you dissatisfied, perhaps. It makes you greedy. And no, greed is not good. It's just frustrating. It's very frustrating when I see people, no matter where they're at, no matter what their circumstance is, they don't have to be business owners. I beat that to death, I know, but it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're at. You're compensated by some enterprise, your own or someone else's. You got to take care of that enterprise. You've got to find a way to put the enterprise at the forefront of what you care about. Your actions, your behaviors, your decisions, your work ethic, your performance have got to be as spectacular as you can make them. You've got to do your best, as Seth Godin would say, to be a linchpin. And you can be a linchpin. And it doesn't matter what your role is, you can still be a more valuable linchpin. That is the job that is before us. And by the way, what's the downside of this? What's the negative of this? If you were to do that, if you were to devote yourself more fully to it, how's that possibly going to hurt you? Well, it's not. It's not going to hurt you at all. So let's get busy. Let's bring more value to the table every day. Let's do the work. And let's reap the benefit. Because there's a benefit to be reaped, for sure. Because you can be remarkable when you make this mind shift to behave this way. Hey, thanks for listening. I do appreciate you subscribing. I wish you would tell other people about the podcast. I'm going to be tweaking a little bit here and there. I'm in this kind of slow, gradual morphing, pivoting. Try to make things a little bit more targeted, a little bit more defined. Hopefully we'll make that happen. I'd like for you to do two things for me. One, if you're not inside the Yellow Studio, this is about a weekly video that I send out only to people that are on the email list. I'd love it if you were on that list. You can do that by going up to the right-hand corner there. Just insert your email address there. First name, if you choose. And I will make sure that you get it. Second thing you can do for me, if you haven't done this, subscribe to the podcast. So that's, we'll call that 2A. 2B is, I'd love it if you'd go over to iTunes and leave me a review. It'll just help more people find us, and that's the objective. Till next time, my name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. This is the Yellow Studio.